Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And hello, everyone. This is the Grace Hour. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis, your host for today. Pastor John Love is with me. He'll have a message on this topic, freedom and faith. Kind of a broad topic, but we are talking about what it means to be a believer and have the freedom that faith gives us. Really, the faith of the Son of God really sets us free to be all that we're meant to be. And so we'll hear something about that in just a few moments from Pastor Love. And then we'll invite you to share your thoughts on the air with us at 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. Call us and share your thoughts on the Grace Hour today, live from Baltimore. And another thing that's live in Baltimore is our church service. And that'll be tonight here at Greater Grace Church, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Begins at 7 o'clock with some music. We'll have a great message from the Word of God. We also have an on-site cafe. You can get a coffee or a tea or a number of other beverages if you'd like to after the service is over and fellowship. Actually, the cafe opens before the service. If you want to come early, get something to eat and drink, and then go into the church service, we'd love to see you tonight at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We want to welcome everyone who's listening to us at WRBS, Positive Talk 1230. Also, those tuned in on the internet, at Facebook Live, on YouTube. You know where to comment on those platforms. We'd love to see your comments, and we'll use them throughout the course of our hour broadcast. Half an hour on the radio and an hour on the internet. That's the way we roll here at the Grace Hour. And we want you to listen and enjoy, be encouraged in the truth from the Word of God. So with some truth from the Word of God, I'm trusting, is Pastor Love.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Steve. And I'm trusting, too, for some truth from the Word of God. And again, great to be with you, friends, on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Grace Hour. And as Pastor Steve mentioned a moment ago, tonight's our midweek service. I always look forward to it. I don't think I'm alone. I think that many are looking forward to the midweek service as well, because it comes at a crucial time during the work week. And it's always so timely and fitting that we get to hear God's thoughts on a Wednesday evening. And everybody's welcome at 7 p.m. That's tonight. Well, freedom and faith. And have you noticed in the midst of this worldwide pandemic, friends, how easy it is for fear to push faith out of our mindset, out of our thought processes? We see it happen. You know, it's interesting because on the one hand, in the midst of a pandemic, we have learned to be cautious. We have learned to be careful. We have taken painstaking measures to do everything we could to keep ourselves and our loved ones free from, getting the virus. And yet, on the other hand, we've seen the extreme for some that the fear of it has actually overcome their thinking. And it's as if the fear wants to push faith completely out of our thought processes. And that's something that we cannot afford to let happen in our lives, because fear, if given the opportunity, would always like to show faith the door and have it exit from our souls. But now more than ever, our souls need to be filled with faith. And when I say that, I simply mean trusting God. Again, the balance, yes, cautious, yes, careful, yes, implementing all necessary measures to keep ourselves and family and loved ones and friends safe, yet at the same time, never losing the ability to trust God and to believe Him for our lives. Because it does seem pretty evident and seem pretty clear that these two cannot operate in our lives, fear and faith, because obviously God wants our hearts to be filled with faith. And on the other hand, the devil would love nothing more than for fear to occupy our souls and to occupy all of our thinking. Well, I think there's a beautiful passage in the Gospels, Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, when the disciples set out on a boat and they were to go to the other side. In fact, it was Jesus in Matthew 14:22 who constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Now notice that it was Jesus who constrained them. It was Jesus who instructed them to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. And it's always interesting to think that Jesus sent them out on a boat that was bound to meet up with a great storm, but he went to the mountain and prayed. You know, there's a beautiful correlation there. Here we are, navigating our way through the storms and the challenges and the crises of life. And someone might say, well, where's Jesus? Well, I'll tell you where he is. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Sometimes this is a great truth that's so easily forgotten in our lives, that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for those who have put their faith and trust in him. And that's an endless intercessory work of Christ. And not only is he doing that, but the Holy Spirit is also actively praying for every believer with groanings that baffle words in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 26th verse. So think about that. Sometimes when we cried and we say, God, where are you? If he could answer audibly, he'd say, I'm praying for you, praying that you'll get through this crisis, praying that God will impart his strength and all of his divine resources so that you can triumph in the situation. So that's where his disciples were. And then we read this in verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, for the disciples, they were in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. You may be in the midst of a financial crisis, you know, tossed around by creditors. You may be in the midst of a divorce. You could be tossed around by lawyers. You might be in the midst of a family health crisis, tossed around by physicians, doctors, and medical challenges. You might be in the midst of a church split, wondering where God wants you to be or where he's going to take you. You know, this is the nature of life, friends. We can be in the midst of it, and it can be tossing us around and making us wonder if it's really worth trusting God. But again, all of these challenges, well, used on one side by the devil and his forces of darkness to drive out faith from our hearts. But imagine if that was successful, if he was successful in driving our trust and our faith in God from our hearts, where would that lead us? Well, it would leave us with a mind filled with fear, and it would take us from freedom and lead us into bondage. And we cannot afford to let that happen. Again, faith, or rather fear, always attempts to push faith from our hearts. And we just need to be reminded that Christ is interceding for us. Christ has promised never to abandon us. He will always be with us. You will never be alone in whatever the nature of your challenge is. And we have to be careful. And here's the real question as to where we're looking or what we're looking at in the midst of life storms. It's easy when you're tossed about in the storms of life to look at the size of the waves. I'm sure the disciples did that. And again, we're talking about the Sea of Galilee, right? maybe at its longest point, 13 miles in length and maybe 7.5 miles in its width. Not a huge body of water, but when those winds would come down from the Golan Heights, oh, it would stir up that sea in such a way that it makes perfect sense to me that the disciples were thinking about whether or not they were going to even survive it. So it's easy to look at the size of the waves. It's easy for us to, again, look at the strength of the wind. It's easy to look at the length of the crisis where we start to say, Lord, how long am I going to be in this storm? And I mean, add it all up, friends, and it's enough to make you sink with fear. And again, it happened to the disciples. It happens to us. And in the Old Testament, it happened to the prophet Jeremiah. And in the book of Lamentations, in the third chapter, well, when you read that third chapter, it begins as the prophet describes his own feelings and thoughts and emotions regarding the condition of where he and his people were at. And he kind of painted this picture that looked so dark and so filled with despair that it just sounded like he was ready to, you know, abandon ship, spiritually speaking. And his final words, listen to his final words before he made this great discovery. And again, he's talking here about God. And he says in verse 15 of Lamentations chapter 3 that he's filled me with bitterness, made me drunk with wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones, covered me with ashes. You removed my soul far from peace. I forgot prosperity. I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul had then still in remembrance, and I'm humbled. But then he said this, but this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Now that's a powerful statement, because he's reached a point where although it sounds like he's sinking, he starts to think. He starts to recall to his mind. This is something that as believers, we have to learn how to do. We have to recall these thoughts. We have to remember what's been deposited within our souls. We have to think about all of those messages that over these many years have found their way into the confines of our souls. And what does he say? Verse 22, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. Think about that, friends. Think about it. It's because of God's mercies that we have not been consumed. Now, at any given moment, we could say, yes, that's true up till this point. But remember, God's mercies are going to show up on time. God's mercies are going to be new every single morning. That's what the next verse says. And great is his faithfulness. You see, you could almost say this, and when we speak about pride in relationship to ourselves, we know how harmful, how dangerous, how detrimental it is. But we could almost say that God takes great pride in his faithfulness. He is a faithful God. It is his character. It is his nature. And you, friends, whatever storm you find yourself in today, God is not about to forget you. He is never going to forsake you. And he is going to drive fear from your heart and find a way to fill it with faith. If we opened the phone lines at this moment and asked believers around the globe to share their testimonies about the faithfulness of God, there wouldn't be enough hours in any given day to take all of those calls, because we can all say the same thing. Yes, God has proved himself faithful over and over and over again. Jeremiah went on. He said, not only are his mercies new every morning, his faithfulness Well, it reaches the heavens. And the Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in him. You see, these are some of the fruits of faith. Faith drives out fear. Faith produces hope. Faith brings patience into our lives. Faith teaches us the importance of waiting upon God. Fear would drive all of that and more from our souls. But faith creates a capacity for these and so much more. He said, the Lord is my portion. That's right. When God becomes our portion, we're not looking for people to meet our needs. We're not looking for circumstances to provide the fulfillment that our lives long for. We're looking to him because he is our portion and our hope is in him. Job cried out in the 17th chapter of the book of Job, where is my hope? We know where our hope is. It's found in Christ. And that hope in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, anchors our souls. And we can all sing along with that great song. Yes, the anchor, it holds. No matter how great the storm might be, no matter how big those waves are, or the strength of those winds, or the length of the crisis that we're facing, the anchor holds. That's the promise from God to each one of us. So these thoughts today, friends, we just want to stir your hearts and remind you that when you're in the midst of a storm, we have a choice. We can either stare at the storm waters, or we can set our eyes, the eyes of faith, on the storm walker. Because in the midst of that great storm for the disciples in Matthew chapter 14, who came from the mountain to reach them in their moment of crisis? Well, at first they thought that it was a ghost. At first they thought they didn't know what it was. They were even filled with fear over the figure that was approaching them. But that person was walking on the water. That's Jesus. And that's the choice that we have in our lives, friends. Again, the freedom, what is that freedom? I can choose to look at the power of the storm, or I can choose to see the one who has power over the storm. I can stare at the storm waters, or I can stare at the storm walker, our Savior, who always comes to rescue us, who always shows up right when we need him to reveal his great faithfulness in our lives. Perhaps as you're listening to this broadcast today, friends, there's some sinking that's happening in your life. Perhaps, you know, you're in the midst of that financial difficulty or crisis, maybe going through a relationship and the turmoil of that relationship. Maybe it is your local church and there's things that are happening there that you wish hadn't happened or didn't happen. Maybe it is, you know, being tossed about in the midst of a divorce or a health crisis. Whatever it is, know this, Christ is coming. That storm can become his path to reach you. And when he comes, he'll always be on time and he'll always be just what we need. Father, we thank you that you've given us this great freedom, freedom to make this choice. We choose to trust you. We choose to look to you. We choose to believe you. We choose to see you, the storm walker, over the storm waves. And we choose faith over fear and freedom over bondage. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the Grace Hour. You've been listening to Pastor John Love with a message on the storm waters versus the storm walker. Our engineer is smiling over there. His name is Cody Walker. And should we give him a nickname? Could we call him Storm Walker today? I don't know. But I could see him snickering over there when you said that. But great freedom when we focus on Christ. We don't have to be overcome by the wind and the waves. Fear really wants to inhibit our faith, but we can fill our soul with faith and live over those fears. Kind of interesting. Jesus went up to the mountain, sent the disciples into the storm. Jesus went up to the right hand of heaven. He sent all of us out into the world. We're free to share the great message. So maybe you have a comment or a question or a prayer request, a testimony about these things. Now's the time, folks. Now's the time to call and share your thoughts with us at 1-800-338-7060 or here locally in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Those are great thoughts to think about. We have some already responses. Carol, faith over fear, looking unto Jesus. Arnold Moses, yes, and thank you. Amazing. That's really just a great thought there, the intercessor for us. And Jeremiah, just holding on in the midst of maybe the most disastrous circumstances that any man of God outside of the cross, where Jesus was all alone after leaving the garden all alone and his disciples fled from him. Jeremiah, I believe, was quite alone in those circumstances, right?
Absolutely. And I love that statement. This I recall to my mind. And that's so important because when you think of all of the messages, the church services, the Bible studies, the Bible college classes, the rap sessions, all of it, I mean, so much has been deposited within our souls. So much has been placed. You know, that's the word admonition. It means to place in the mind. That's what we've done with God's promises, with these messages throughout the years. And it's in there. And we sometimes we just need to say, Father, I know that truth is in there. Help me to recall it. Bring it to my mind. And I think that's one of the Holy Spirit's roles. One of his functions is to bring to our memory all of those great truths that have been deposited within us.
Yeah, all those great truths. And then let's not forget Romans 8. Like when we really don't know how to pray, the Spirit comes right along with us and prays things that cannot be uttered. He groans with us. So that's a great freedom to understand that in the midst of trying circumstances, even the Holy Spirit is there with us, groaning as we groan. I like that passage. It's right in the middle of like a really interesting chapter for us about no condemnation. And then at the very end, it talks about nothing separating us from the love of God in Christ. It's like, remember, you can never be condemned. Remember, you can never be separated. But this world is groaning and you're groaning in the midst of it and you'd like things to be different, but the Holy Spirit is there. Just like, you know, walking through the storm, walking on top of the waves in the midst of the storm. That's amazing. Donna says, a walker keeps walking through the storm with Jesus by their side. A walker doesn't give up. That's an interesting thing. Just keep moving. Maybe that's what Peter should have done. Yeah. Just kept moving, right?
Yeah. No question. I read a story once, Pastor Steve. I think it was in state of Texas. And I saw a picture of it as well. A brother, believer, who was sitting in his, I think it was a pickup truck, during a ferocious storm. He noticed that a bird's nest had collapsed right beside his truck. And as he looked out the window, he could see the little baby birds on the ground, and its mother came, and she just kind of spread her wings over these little ones because the nest had broken away from its setting, and they were in danger of being damaged by the storm and the winds and the rain. And he thought to himself, that is a beautiful picture of how God covers us, protects us, is with us in the midst of life storms. Because, you know, it happens. And I think, as you said, Romans 8:26, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. No need for you and I to condemn ourselves because our prayer life isn't up to par.
Mm.
I mean, if you've ever been reduced to groaning in your life, you're in good company.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God says, what you can't do, I'll take it from here. Groanings, one translation says, groanings that baffle words. Amazing.
Groanings that baffle words. It's amazing. Dominique Di Piazza from France. Dear Pastor Love, excellent and encouraging message. It's very clear to understand. I have loved the thought of freedom in whether we stare at the storm. and also the image of Jesus up on the mountain praying for his disciples in difficulty. It's the reality of Jesus interceding for us. Beautiful. And I liked also, fear doesn't...
defeat. That's what you mean.
Yeah, fear doesn't defeat faith. Thanks again for your faithful and anointed ministry. Yeah, great.
Great, brother. And Dominique, I sure am sorry I'm going to miss you, not being able to go to Paris for this conference, but I've sent my love ahead to you. I know that this is a challenging time of life, Dominique, for our listeners. His wife battled cancer for a long time, a number of years, and he was right there by her side. And my understanding is that he's just returning to his home now. She went home to be with the Lord some months ago, but he's just now getting back into the home that he shared with his wife for many, many years. So our thoughts and prayers are with you, brother, and I know you're going to be at this conference, and I know that God's just going to fill your heart with faith and courage for the days that lie ahead for you.
So if you are listening to us in the Paris area on the internet, you could come to the Paris Church and be a part of this conference this weekend. Pastor Schaller, our senior pastor here at Greater Grace Church, is planning to be there, and it should be an awesome time. And we're all hoping and expecting that things will open up, loosen up, and we'll be able to travel and be together. Well, we're getting to the end of our first half hour today, and we're about to leave the radio waves in just a moment. Just a reminder, first of all, if you like the teaching you heard today, you can join up with Pastor Love Friday mornings, right?
That's correct.
Friday mornings, Pastor Love is teaching the book of Revelation. Free class, I believe it's 8:30 to 10:20.
That's right.
So if you can make it, you can be here, 6025 Moravia Park Drive, and see a free Bible college class this week. Also tonight, church service, 7 o'clock. You can be here at our campus in East Baltimore. We'd love to have you. Come on out tonight. And tomorrow, remember it's Thursday, we throw it back and dig into the archive of Pastor Stevens, the founder of our show. He's talking about prosperity, adversity, and the gift of free volition. That's tomorrow in the Grace Hour. Friends, we'll be right back to those on the internet, those online, on the radio. Have a great afternoon. All right, we're still here talking about the love of God, the grace of God, walking through a storm with him holding us up. Yes, 1-800-338-7060, toll-free number in North America. You could share your thoughts that way or at 410-483-3700. Pastor Love?
Well, while we wait for our listeners to join us, and we hope that many of them will, question, Pastor Steve, you mentioned, you know, the importance of filling our souls with faith. Practically speaking, how do we go about doing just that?
I would say we take heed how we hear. I think you can't, you know, I remember a great message from Dr. Stevens years ago called Contentment with Content. And I think a great godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a way to get contentment, and that's to fill your heart with the Word of God. I think that's a pattern of life. We used to hear, and we still hear it, that we need an hour of doctrine a day. Grace Hour exists for that reason. You know, if you turn us on and you're doing something where you are, you're working, you're plugged into the program, you're getting an hour of truth. And, you know, Pastor Stevens used to say, you need that as a bare minimum. And I think having a pattern of thinking with God, learning to have a pattern of thinking with God by reading his word and having the word of God be something that sort of saturates the ground of our soul, makes it ready to receive. And so that's, you know, I think that's the key to it, is like having that, having being full of what God's thoughts are.
Yeah, no question about it. Like, you know, I went into the health club last week, and there was a gentleman there, and I've had a few conversations with him. He's a little older, and I saw him, I think it was last Sunday in the afternoon, and I asked him, how are you? And his response was, I'm here.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, yeah, I said, that's all you need to do. And he says, that's it. I'm here. He says, I could have stayed home on the couch, but I'm here. I'm exercising. I'm getting the blood moving. I'm here. And I thought the same thing, we could say the same thing about church, the same thing about the house of God. I'm here. You know, whatever the condition of your soul might be at any given moment, take it to church. If that opportunity is present, that's God's way of telling you about his mercy, about his grace, about his love, about his care for you. And to be able to walk through the doors of any church, the church that you frequent and that you're a part of, whatever that ministry might be, you know, just you're here. You might feel rotten.
It's true. I mean,
you might be downcast. I mean, we wouldn't be alone. The psalmist said, my soul, you know, why art thou cast down? Sometimes that's the way we show up when we get to church. But praise God, we can say those wonderful words, I'm here. And when you show up, we've heard it said, it's more than half the battle right there. So showing up is so crucial because you're putting yourself in a place where at least now you've given yourself an opportunity to hear from God.
And the proverb tells us that in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. It's like it's good to be, you know, this, when we look back over the course of church history, we know that church at its best is a collection of people from all walks of life. And so there's probably someone in a local assembly like ours here in Moravia Park Drive and other smaller churches that we have in Federal Hill and Harold Harbor in Anne Arundel County up in with Pastor Wright up in Habit of Grace and Northeast. I think Pastor Sleva, Pastor Alderson do things in Northeast Maryland. And so these things happen. You know, we have a places that you can come to. And, you know, just getting that, sitting with someone and being with people, you might get a word of hope, right? A word of hope that would quicken you for the storm that you're facing.
Yeah. You know?
And I think that's right. The walking, taking one step at a time. I remember one of those old salty plays, you know, the Salty, the singing songbook.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you remember one of our old friends used to dress up in the songbook and sing, right?
That's right.
Yeah. and we're praying for you and your family. You know who you are. If you happen to be listening, I guess that would be a miracle, right?
Yeah, well, that's possible.
So, yeah. Okay. So anyway, but we're just thinking about that and just Salty, the singing songbook. There was a one story of kids lost in the woods, and his song that he sang was one step at a time with Jesus by my side. I'm climbing that mountain one step at a time with Jesus by my side. It was like all the kids would sing it. What a great message. It's like one step at a time.
That's the spiritual version. The natural version is the little train that could, right?
That's right. You're right. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Yes, that's true. Oh, that's interesting. Well, we're going to go to the phones from Massachusetts. We have John on the line. John, welcome to the Grace Hour today.
Yes, I'm... You talk about being faithful to church. I've been backslidden for a lot of my Christian walk. If I could have done it again, if I could do it again, I wouldn't backslide. But one thing, I always made it to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or Thursday night, or classes, I was always there. And eventually, I came out of my backsliding, and now I'm walking with Jesus. If I hadn't been going to church all that, I just probably would have remained in my backsliding, and I'd still be backslidden.
That's a great thought. Gee, John, I would have never known that. Every time I've ever visited up there, you've been in church.
I know.
Yeah, that's right.
Beautiful. Hey, John, you know, Pastor Schaller and others here have referred to our chapel as the living room. And I think that that's a great way to look at our chapel where we meet for preaching and teaching and worship, fellowship. It's the living room. And what do you do when you're in your living room at home? Well, you sit together with the ones you love, and you're relaxed, and it's a time of refreshing. Well, we refer to our chapel as the living room. We're gathering together with the body of Christ, the family of God, deeply encouraged. We're not turning a television on, but we're looking at the pulpit and listening to God's thoughts. And again, when you don't do that, there's a beautiful verse found in the book of Jonah. It says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. what are the lying vanities? Well, you could just say, well, it's been a long day and I don't feel up to it, or emotionally speaking, I don't feel like I want to go, or it's too much time. No, listen, when you go, you're going to receive exactly what you need from God, because this is, again, God's church in this age. It is God's program for his people to gather together in a local assembly. Today we hear all kinds of ideas and arguments contrary to that, but God's program for this age has not changed. He's going to reveal himself in his church. He's going to manifest his presence in his church, and he's going to preach to us and teach us and speak to our hearts from the church.
Amen. That's wonderful.
Thanks for the call, brother.
Bye.
All right. Have a great day. You're listening to the Grace Hour. You could call us like John did from Massachusetts. You can use the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7060, or you could call us here in Baltimore at 410-483-3700. And that second number is also good for those of you listening wherever you are in the world. We'd love to hear from you. Castlewood has said, precise doctrine produces faith. Pastor Stevens, that's true. That's right.
Yeah.
The precision of doctrine. Back to John's thing, I would have never known that he was backslidden. I think two of his daughters, right, are here in the church here. And I must have had some sort of example on them. Also, you know, I thinking of that proverb, another proverb, the backslider is filled with his own ways, which really is like, if you are feeling less than holy, and who doesn't feel that way, because we can only be complete in Christ. But if you're feeling unworthy, that's exactly the time you should, like, you know, just drag yourself, just put the car in drive and, you know, get over to the church and bring yourself in. You know, it's like, don't be filled with your own ways.
Yeah. I mean, I think some people feel as though that's almost, hypocritical. Like, I can't come to church if I'm discouraged. I can't come to church if I'm not in a, you know, a good spiritual place, if I'm not, you know, filled with the Spirit, have joy overflowing in my heart. That's not true. I mean, some people say, I'm not going to go to church until I can clean up my life. Well, God says, come to church and I'll clean yourself. I'll clean you up for you. You can't do it yourself.
Yeah, I was just reading this morning in Luke 8 or Luke 7, it is, where the woman, the harlot woman, came into the room of the Pharisee's house and fell at Jesus' feet and kissed them, washed feet with her tears and hair like that. She didn't wait to be made new. I mean, she was made new by that faith in Jesus, but she didn't wait to get cleaned up and forsake her profession. She came to Jesus, and then she didn't want to be that anymore, apparently.
Yeah.
So
she was the original party crasher.
That's for sure.
And
right.
As far as we know, she probably wasn't even invited.
Oh.
But
yeah.
She made her way in. God bless
her. Amazing.
And through that example of her life and what she did, wow, what a great message Christ gave us because of her presence.
Well, we have a couple of comments here from Tess. It just says, we're going through many different things. And then Jesus said, he'll bring us to the other side, meaning we will have a breakthrough. And like Pastor Stevens once said, not being in church is missing God's blessing for that day.
Wow.
It's like God has
a
mind. And I think that's the purpose of local assemblies. Now, we have a little, I shouldn't say that. We should never say little. Okay, so we have a great group of people who meet in Dundalk on Tuesdays, and we had a great Bible study last night about the groanings of God. That's why that was on my mind. We talked about that, about faith and how, you know, you have the Holy Spirit with you. But, you know, they said some things about just like, you know, God brought you to us, and then God brought us to you. And that was like, you know, the woman that said it, her name is Dale, and it was like a very, you know, edifying comment to say that, you know, all of these things are given by God. Local assemblies are given by God so that we can find our way into them. And you have your study every couple of weeks right up in Harford County.
That's right.
A group of people that meet. And
tomorrow
then
night.
Your MBA guys, they have to watch you on the television right now on the screen. But, you know, that's a small a little bit of things, and that kind of thing, like, really is awesome thing to think about. Amen. Okay, you listen to the Grace Hour. We're going to go to Pennsylvania right now and talk to Duke. Duke, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Steve. Hi, Pastor Love. Wow, what an awesome portion this morning about God's faithfulness in the storms. Hey, I had this thought of this morning. I was reading about God's deliverance in Israel, and it made me think about what we're hearing a lot about the 5G network. And God has his own 5G network, right? First is grace, and that grace produces gratitude, and then that gratitude causes us to be generous, generosity. Those things lead us into God-likeness, just revealing his character, and then ending in God getting all the glory. So in the storms, God wants us to tap into his 5G network. Amen?
That's good. I like that. Grace, gratitude, generosity, godliness, and God gets the glory.
That's amazing.
Beautiful.
Yep. All right.
That's the kind of 5G network we could all stand to live with.
That's true. Nice.
Yeah. Amen. And you know what? A lot of people, they want to prepare for storms, so, they buy generators. But in God's kingdom, we prepare because of what we received, and then that causes his network to just flow out of us to other people. Amen.
Yeah, never a loss of power. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You guys are awesome. I love you.
All right, thanks. Yeah, have a great day. All right, you're listening to the Grace Hour. Mary says we should get over ourselves. That's secret to getting past backsliding, backsliding. Get over yourself.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Amen.
Another thing, when we think about it, I read this, I think it's E. Stanley Jones on Abundant Living. In his devotional this morning, he said something about you can't exist by breathing out all the time, and I'm thinking, okay, boy, it seems like you would never even think of that, but just try not breathing in, and very soon you'll suffocate. And he's making the point that reception is so important. You breathe out, you breathe in, and being in an atmosphere of belief and with believers, you should be giving and receiving, giving and receiving, giving and receiving. He even made the point that, most of just about every other religion that's out there is about you give, you give, you give, you give, you give, and then you hope God will receive you. But in the Christian life with Jesus, it's he gave, we receive. He gives more, we receive. He giveth and he giveth and he giveth more grace. That's the whole thing. And we give our life as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, but we have to receive. We have to receive from him, right?
Oh, yeah. And the more we inhale, the oxygen of God's grace, love, mercy, forgiveness, inevitably we exhale it.
Yeah.
And share it with others. I was thinking earlier about, I think you mentioned it, how our souls need to be watered. And by that I mean, nourished with the promises of God. We have seen this past year and years before that, I think almost every year, these great, storms, fires out in the Midwest or in the western part of our country, devouring hundreds of thousands of acres of land. And a lot of those storms start because of a lightning strike.
That's right.
But there's a certain part of Washington State, and it has a particular forest where, even though the trees in some cases are up to 200 years old, they have never been touched by these lightning strikes because apparently the forest floors are so moist and well watered that when lightning does strike, it does not produce the fatal forest fires that we see in some other parts of the country. And the point is simple. Lightning strikes, we could say it a different way. Life happens. I mean, you can't stop lightning strikes. They happen. But if your soul is well watered, when the crisis comes, when the tragedy, you discover it, find out about it, it doesn't destroy your soul. Why? Because your soul has been so well watered. And I think it's so important for us to remember. I've got to do everything I can. I have to make every provision. I don't want to make any provision for my flesh, but I have to make and take every provision that's available to me to keep my soul watered. Because lightning's going to strike. It happens. We know that. But that doesn't mean my life will be consumed when it happens.
Yeah, it didn't say. I think it is Deuteronomy. It says that the doctrine shall drop like dew. It shall also fall like rain. It's like, you know, just we get the refreshment morning by morning that happens. And then also you get the strong rains, the washing rains that need. And that forest apparently is well prepared to exist that way. Yeah, tinder. That's what they're saying is like that's, the fact that some of these forest fires is the fact that I've watched some of these, some of these documentaries about fires where they actually do a controlled burn. And a couple years ago, they had, I guess maybe 10 years ago, they had a huge, in the Great Smoky Mountains, they had a huge forest fire, and they've reconfigured their practices, and they find areas where there's so much deadwood that they start these controlled fires on days that aren't windy so they can get rid of some of this, the dead branches, you know, the things that fall to the ground after dying, you know. It's like, it's almost if you, you know, it makes you think about the verse in Isaiah about truth falling in the street. It's like, if you let truth fall in the street and you don't take it, you could be, you know, you could be at risk for life happening and burning everything up around you, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
unfortunately, we see that happen all too often. Believers forsake the assembling of themselves together. And we read about that in Hebrews 10:25. And then what does it take? It takes a crisis. It takes a lightning strike, so to speak, to bring them back to their senses where they say, wait a minute, you know, I don't think that all of this would be happening, or at least my attitude toward what is happening would be completely different if my soul was healthy, if my soul was well watered, if my soul was strengthened by the Word of God. I'd be able to get through this. I'd be able to endure it. But as it is, because I've been away from the preaching and the teaching of God's thoughts and words, I barely have the capacity to deal with it.
Mm.
It's like, because behind that, we have the God of this world whose whole program and his whole goal and objective is to wear down the saints of the Most High God.
Wow. That's true. 1-800-338-7060, toll-free number. We would love to hear from you on the Grace Hour today. Pastor John Love, I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. We've got about 10 minutes. 410-483-3700. That's the local number in Baltimore and worldwide. Olu used to be a Bible college student here, graduate, I think. He says, we should be ministered unto if we minister to people so we don't become weak and malnourished spiritually. That's also, you need to receive. That's true. You need to receive. And speaking of Jeremiah, that was one of the things that God gave him to witness against Israel. They had created cisterns that could not hold water. They had created systems of religion that were leaky, broken cisterns, and they forsook the living God. That was their first sin. And then they tried to create a way of being watered that wasn't the right way of being watered.
Yeah, that's the truth. And the last thing that we can afford to be in these days that we find ourselves living in is to be a broken cistern that can't hold water. I mean, it's interesting because Paul brought that out first when he wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when he talked about keeping under his body and bringing it into subjection and in instituting all of these spiritual disciplines, he said, because his fear, this is the Apostle Paul, was that after having preached to others, he himself would be a castaway. And when you look at that word castaway, we know that it's that Greek word, adokimazo, and it means, you know, disapproved. Mm. But one translation says it's a pot with a crack in it.
Wow.
Paul was saying, I don't want to be a crackpot.
That's right.
I don't want to be a crackpot.
That's good. Yeah.
And it wasn't, and like some, obviously, they want to lead us to believe, Pastor Steve, that's Paul saying he feared he could lose his salvation. That passage, the context of it, has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with service.
Yeah.
It has to do with God using us while we're here on the earth. And he said, and I don't want to have preached to others and then have others look at me and say, well, he used to minister, he used to be this, he used to be that, but he's no longer fit for service.
That's amazing. That's interesting that you talk about that, because I did some study on Jacob Arminius yesterday, which is, you know, people know him as the source of Arminian theology, which is, but it's kind of interesting, like most people, like even with John Calvin, like, is Calvinism really based on Calvin? Is Arminianism really based on Arminius? And you'll find out, like, you know, both of these men were very solid believers and very great pastors, and some of their writings have been taken and extrapolated out to the most extreme kind of levels. But it goes through the process of what he wrote and what he believed, and then his followers took it to this degree, and then another group took it to this degree, and then you get to this point where you've got the whole muddle of scripture in your mind, and you just pick this piece out about being forsaken. And there's a pile of scriptures there to say that you can never be forsaken. And then there's like a couple of little things that seem to indicate that God might leave us if we do a certain thing, but it's never really categorized. That was one thing when I was wrestling with this in my own life back when I was a believer about a year and a half. I was like reading and I've been looking at these passages and listening to messages on the radio about the eternal nature of our salvation, and gotten to some, you know, like, okay, so tell me, where is the line? Where's the out of bounds line? You know, if you get out of bounds, the clock stops, you know, all play stops, even in soccer with the running clock, they stop the play and bring the ball back into the field of play. But it's like, you know, no one could really tell me what I could do to be out of bounds. You know, you have a conscience. I said, yes, I have a conscience. It condemns me every day. So do I have to get saved every other minute? You know,
it's God forbid.
God forbid. That's right.
God forbid. And you do hear believers express their concern over what has been referred to as the unpardonable sin.
Yes.
And you know, we can confidently say to those of you that are listening, you're a believer, you're born again. You cannot commit the unpardonable sin. There is no sin that Christ didn't die for, no sin that he cannot pardon you for, not mm-hmm. one. The only unpardonable sin, as far as we know, is unbelief, is that you've been offered the choice of Christ, the offer of the gospel has been presented before you, maybe not even once or twice, but maybe many times, multiple times, over and over again, maybe for many years, even decades in your life, but you consistently refuse that offer. That is the only sin that cannot be pardoned.
Yeah, you just, and really the answer to that is just to say help. Like the guy with the demon-controlled son, he said, I believe, but you got to help my unbelief, you know, and that prayer is enough. Just like the thief on the cross. Remember me when you come into your kingdom, Lord. It's like just that acknowledgement is enough. It's like, so, you know, the twinkling of an eye. It's like just that twinkling, that subtle turn of your mind to really embrace Jesus is really just the only thing that we need to do. Mm-hmm. And Christ comes in and seals us, makes us one with himself. It's awesome. Hey, we'd just like to remind people again, if you're listening, maybe you tuned in late to our show today, tonight at Greater Grace Church here in Baltimore, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'd like to see you. 7 o'clock tonight, we'll have a midweek church service. Come and listen to the Word of God. Come and sing with us. Come and have a cup of coffee or tea with us. It'd be awesome to see you. We'd love to have you with us at Greater Grace this Wednesday night. Every Wednesday we have services going on, and Bible College just opened this week. You could sample any classes, like we mentioned Pastor Love's class on Friday morning at 8:30. There's classes in the evening from 6 to 10, both Thursday and Friday, from 6 to 8 on Friday. You can come, and Pastor Schiavelli, our missions director, Pastor Stephen Schiavelli, has a class on Friday evening. You're welcome to be a part of that this week. Sample Bible College. Learn how to put content in your soul. And where was it? It was like precise doctrine. Someone said that earlier. Like, we need precise doctrine. That's a a good thing. Precise doctrine, knowing the truth, right?
Yeah. Amen. Because
it sets us free.
Exactly.
Yes.
Precise doctrine allows us to walk precisely in this life and to understand and know the will of God. And understanding and knowing the will of God and finding ourselves smack dab in the middle of the will of God is such a great comfort. It's kind of like the hurricane, right, Pastor Steve?
Yeah.
When you're in the eye of the storm, there's a perfect peace.
That's right.
So it is with the will of God. Get on, you know, move out towards the perimeters. It can get dicey.
That's right.
But stay in the middle of the will of God. Stay in the presence of that will for your life, and you'll find that perfect peace.
Yeah, the wind's swirling around you. Look up. You know, don't look to the ends of the earth, as it says. I think there's that a psalm where it says that from the ends of the earth I cry out to you. Don't look to the ends of the earth. You know, look up. Look up. That's where Jesus is. He was on the mountain, and then he left the mountain and went up to the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. And we have two witnesses in the Bible that know that the presence of God in the throne room of God is very real. Isaiah saw him in Isaiah chapter 6. And Stephen, as he was departing from this earth, saw Jesus standing at the right hand of glory in Acts chapter 7. So we know Jesus is there. We got witness accounts, right?
Amen.
We know Jesus is there. So, well, another day.
Yeah,
another
praise
program.
God.
We've done it.
We did it. And encourage you, friends, keep your souls well watered. Lightning strikes happen. Storms are on their way. We'll get through them. We will not be occupied with the size of the waves or the strength of the wind or the length of the storm. We will keep our eyes on the one who overcomes it, who walks on it. In fact, that storm was his path to reach the ones he loved, and it will be the same for us.
Amen. Hey, we're praying with you, praying for you. Yes, we know there's all kinds of things, praying for those families of the firefighters in Baltimore. We're lifting them up, people around the world, praying for all of you who are being affected by this pandemic and whatever it's doing in your life. And we're just believing God for great things. So that's the Grace Hour today for Pastor John Love. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. As I said, our engineer has been Cody Storm Walker today. And we'll be back on the radio tomorrow. If you want to be a part of this program, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, here in the United States. Join us for the Grace Hour. Friends, have a great afternoon.
Thanks for listening to the Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.